Morning. It is wonderful to be here. It is, as Lee said just a moment ago, it is wonderful to know that we are a part of God's family that has come together for all these many years, 2,000 years, every Sunday to worship God. We continue that great and wonderful blessing today. You know, in the very beginning, God created man from the dust of the ground. He said, let us make man in our own image. God then, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2, breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. On day 6 of creation, the 6th day of this universe's existence, the first two souls entered into this world by the living breath of the Almighty God. The soul is what God placed within flesh so that it might live. God is righteous, and the soul He gives is righteous. And the only thing that matters in this life, the only thing that matters in this life, is what we do with that part of us that came from the breath of God. In John chapter 1 and verse 4, we are told that Jesus is the source of all life. He is source of all life and provides all life, both spiritual and physical. When it says that God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, that was Jesus Christ putting life, making Adam a living soul. We must remember, though, that physical death means little more than the soul leaving the body, according to James chapter 2. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works. James, while talking about faith, tells us about life and death physically. We need to also understand that that soul that leaves this body when we die returns to God, according to Solomon in Ecclesiastes, returns to God who gave it when He breathed that into us. Physical death means little more than the soul leaving the body and returning to God. It ultimately does nothing to change life. Real death is the separation of the soul from the God that gave it. That is the separation that changes a person fundamentally at their core. See, that's what death means. Death means, it doesn't mean not living. Death means separation. Just as death from a physical standpoint is the separation of this fleshly body from the soul. Separation from God is death. It is the death that matters. It is the death that fundamentally does change who and what we are. Paul told the Ephesians, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. These brethren that he was talking to, he was talking about their former life before they had come to Jesus Christ. And they were dead. They were separated from God because they had sinned, just as all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They were separated because of their trespasses and their sins. How did they die? Well, Paul goes on in the next verse and says how they died. By walking according to the course of this world. By being like the world. By walking according to the devil. By walking according to a spirit of disobedience. That is what verse 2 says killed the Ephesians before. This is what God meant when He told Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden, when He said to them that in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that day you shall surely die. Now we know and we understand that Adam and Eve did not die that day. In fact, Adam lived more than 900 years after that physically. But we know in the moment that they ate of that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they died spiritually. They were separated from God. And they died the worst death that can happen to an individual. You see, God does not experience physical death, nor our physical death, because we are not separated from God physically, ever. He does experience the loss of those who spiritually die, though, when they are separated from Him by their decisions, by their sins. That is why God would sacrifice Himself to bring us back, to redeem us, to remove the separation that sin had caused between us and Him. Let me ask you, what parent here today would not give their life for their children? I would gladly lay down my life in a heartbeat for my children. And my love, my care for my children pales to insignificance in the light of God's love and His care for you and for me, because we are His, His creation. God's love that sent Jesus was not about our physical life. God didn't come here about to deal in physical things. It was about our life that God gave to us and that we took from Him through our sins. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not physical," to Pilate. He said, "If it was physical, my followers would be fighting to free me." No, my kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Jesus didn't come about the physical. It came about the spiritual, the soul. Jesus' greatest agony on the cross. That moment where He said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That moment appears as we read the text of what we have recorded of that dark day. Appears to be Jesus' greatest pain. And it's very possible it's His greatest pain because at that moment, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 tells us, Jesus became sin. He took our sins upon Himself. And for the first time ever in His existence as the eternal God, He was separated from the Father. He died for us, not just physically, but He suffered the horrible pain of separation spiritually from God there upon the cross for you and me. He paid that price. Sometimes we only just think about Jesus Christ dying physically, but Jesus Christ had to be separated spiritually as well in order to bear our sins, because God cannot have anything to do with sin. He is righteous. He is holy. And Jesus did that for us. What does the fact that the life and death of our soul in relation to God, what is the fact that we understand that that is all that matters, what does that teach us today? Where does that guide us today as Christians, as the Lord's church? It teaches us that the soul should be our preeminent concern in this life. That is why the theme for this year is our soul focus. S-O-L-E. S-O-L-E. Well, that's bad, isn't it? Our soul focus is to be soul, S-O-U-L, focused. We are to be focused on souls. The development of this focus began with a desire to see us improve our evangelistic efforts here. However, in the last couple of months, we came to realize that evangelism is just an equal part of a threefold focus that the Lord's church should and must have, a focus that is on souls, ultimately all souls. Let's take a few moments and examine this threefold focus on souls. We must first have a focus on our personal soul. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I have a responsibility for Nathan. I have a responsibility to my soul that God gave me to work out the salvation that God has provided for me in God's Word and put that into my life and work it in my life in the fear of God. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7 that we are to take the sinful beam out of our own eye before we begin to pick the specks of sin out of our brother's eyes. Does it say don't get the specks out of your brother's eyes, or don't help your brother get his specks out of his eyes? It says you make sure you've taken care of you first. And that doesn't mean we have to be perfect, but it does mean that we are doing everything we can to live right. We have removed the rebellion that could keep us away from God. The beginning of all faithfulness is a person's decision to deal with the spiritual need of their own life. They cannot accomplish the other two parts of this focus on souls until they have taken care of this one. You cannot help another soul today until you have taken care of yours. Until you have set yours on a path to God. You cannot even begin to accomplish the other two. Many people, even those that claim to be Christians and attend church, fail in this focus. And therefore, the reason for being a part of the church is always something other than what it should be. It is sometimes personal preference. It is sometimes for social reasons. But it is not because of souls, because they've never looked at their own. They've never focused on what it needs. They are not focused on souls because they have never seen the need to focus on souls, because they've never even seen the need to focus on their own. Such people are not serious about biblical knowledge. Bible, we don't need to be so serious about that. It's not that important. It's what you'll hear them say. They are more concerned about the world and what society thinks, to the exception of what God wants and what God has commanded. They are more worried about physical needs of people than their spiritual needs. They want religion to be easy. And yet there is not a page of the Bible that I can find that ever says that that's the case for God's people. They cannot accomplish the purposes of God in this world because they do not know them, nor do they understand them in their own lives. Faith comes by the Word of God, according to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. A person's faith is directly proportional to their knowledge of God's Word. When a person has been a Christian for many years and cannot or will not tell a person what they need to do to be saved, their faith is small, and they need to be taught the very basics of what Christianity is. That will always be their responsibility to fulfill. Because you see, I cannot make you be faithful. The elders cannot make you be faithful. We cannot make you study your Bible. We cannot make you pray. We cannot make you look to God. We cannot make you depend on God. We cannot make God number one in your life. The only person that can do that is you. And the only person that can do that for Nathan is me. My mama tried to make me do a lot of things. But it wasn't until I decided to do it that I did it. Right? Now, she coerced. But hasn't God's love coerced you to live for Him? Is there any other reason that you need than what He's done for you? This year, each of us need to dedicate ourselves to focusing on the needs of our personal souls so that we will be equipped to live for God. Once we are doing His will, we are able and we are willing to teach. So we get our soul in order, and now what do we do with our spiritual strength and our spiritual knowledge that comes from accomplishing that? Because see, you take care of that, and a lot of things are going to take care of themselves. And Jesus talked about the Pharisees, and He said that they clean the outside of the cup. They try to make it all look nice, but on the inside it's all dirty. If you clean the inside, the outside takes care of itself. The same thing with us. We need to take care of the inside of us. A lot of the externals that we need to be doing will happen, because those things come from the heart. And we will have fixed our heart for God. We accomplish when we take care of self, we will be able to better accomplish the other two aspects. The second aspect that we focus on is the souls of the lost. From the foundation of the world, God has been focused on the souls of the lost. In fact, from before the foundation of the world, God was looking to save the lost of a creation that He had not even spoken into existence yet. He was soul focused. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, the Apostle Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will." Before the foundation of the world, God determined to send Jesus. Jesus determined to come and to save the soul that He would breathe into each and every one of us. Not to make our physical lives better. Jesus came to seek and to save souls. He came to make our soul spiritually alive in God. Because if we have not given ourselves to God, our soul is dead. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." As we seek to be like Jesus, the Jesus who came, who planned to come from before the foundation of the world to seek and to save souls, we must focus on the souls that are lost and dead in sin. You cannot say, though, that you are shining the light of Jesus Christ and not seek to help lost souls. Letting our light shine is about teaching the truth. Light is symbolic of truth. It is the light of Jesus Christ, who John refers to as the Word, the embodiment of the gospel. Letting our light shine is about teaching the truth so that those that hear and see us doing the good works of the gospel will know who to glorify. How can a person know to glorify the Father in heaven if we've never said anything to them about Him? No matter what you do, it has to involve leading that lost soul back to the God that they have left, that they have died to. We need to know who that is. We need to tell others who that is so that they understand and they know why He is worthy of being glorified. It is the same way that we are a preserving force, as He says in verse 3, just 13 rather, in Matthew chapter 5, just before that we are a preserving force. You are the salt of the earth. That we are to preserve. And if we're not preserving, if we've lost our savor, if we've lost the ability to preserve, then we are good for nothing to God. That's tough. Because we're scared to death of reaching out to lost souls. We think everybody's going to hit us with a bat. That's the way people act, right? Oh, I'm scared. I've talked to a lot of people. No one's ever hit me with a bat. No one's actually ever hit me. I can't say everybody's been nice. But I survived it. I'm standing before you today without any physical scars. We are worthless if we're not reaching out to the lost souls. Because God's purpose is that. If we're not doing it, we're not what He calls us to be. You know, He also says in that same text, just before He tells us that we are the light of the world, He says that we are a city of truth. We're a city of light. And we are set on a hill. We are set on a hill so that all can see God's truth. And that we are not to hide that light, that truth, under bushels, under covers. We're not to hide it under bushels of ignorance or fear or shame. But we are to let it shine so that all may see what is right and good in God. This is the heart of evangelism. It is a heart focused on souls. If we do not have that focus, we will not be evangelistic. And if we have failed in evangelism, it is because we have failed to have this focus. This is another one of those things that if we just have the right heart, everything takes care of itself. If my heart has a focus on the lost souls of this world, I'm not going to have a problem being evangelistic. I'm going to want to help. I'm going to want to save people. I'm going to want to do something for them so that they will not know eternal death or eternal separation from God. Now this year, may we renew the needed focus upon the souls of the lost so that we can truly live up to the name Christian. Third, we must focus on the souls of our brothers and sisters. There is a great need for us to encourage and build up one another in the faith as well. Our being here this morning to worship God is an opportunity for us to point each other toward God in worship. God is the focus. We help point each other in that direction to focus on Him who focuses on souls. We point each other to God through Bible teaching by pointing to God's truth and to what He has given to us. We point each other to God when we teach one another through songs that we sing and praise to God. We point each other to God and we remind each other of the great price that was paid by Christ for us when we partake of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Him and what He did upon the cross for us, for our souls, that they might be saved. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25 tells us that our gathering together, as we are this morning, as we will tonight, as we will Wednesday night, our gathering together will stimulate us to love and good deeds. You know, I am amazed at how people that do not attend the worship service, do not attend Bible study, regularly, they don't come as they should, they have other things to be at. It amazes me how they are so arrogant sometimes and believe that they are somehow enlightened with some knowledge of God's Word that makes being here with God's family an option. Makes being here with God's family not important. Paul warned for those who think they stand, they need to take heed lest they fall. Not regularly attending the services. Hebrews refers to it in that same text in Hebrews chapter 10 as the manner of some is. See there, same thing back in those days. Very little changes in the world. Solomon said nothing new under the sun. But not attending regularly the services of the Lord's church at its heart is a lack of love. A lack of love for God. Lack of love for your brother. At its heart is a lack of love. It is a sad ignorance. And it is a disregard for all the souls of their brothers and sisters in Christ that they should be here encouraging and helping and pointing toward God. What can you do to help the souls of your brothers and sisters? This is not about physical things you can do. What is it spiritually you're doing? It's easy to cook a pie, and I'll take all the pies you want to give me. It's easy to bake a pie, and that's a good thing. But at the end of the day, it's not the most important thing. What are we doing spiritually to help our brothers and sisters? This year, may we focus on the souls of our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we do that so that it will help them get to heaven. Also, though, referring back to our first point, we personally cannot get to heaven without such a focus. We cannot get to heaven if we don't care about the lost. You cannot get to heaven if you do not care about the people sitting around you. You need to fix your personal soul if that is the case. Because we just can't get there without this focus on souls. Jesus said that you are my disciples and that you demonstrate you are my disciples. How? If you love one another. Love is more than words. It is action. At the end of 2013, if the Lord wills for this world to remain that long, how will you have impacted the souls of those people in this auditorium this morning. How will you have impacted their lives spiritually? Your decisions and your focus starting today will determine that answer. We are called as God's people to be like God, to be soul focused. I ask you, do you see how these are equal and intertwined, so intertwined that unless all three are being accomplished, we cannot succeed? But you think about the circular nature of it all. We focus on our soul, which leads us to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our soul becomes alive with God. No longer separated, but alive with God through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And His adding us to His church. To us being born again into the family of God. We begin to work and focus on our soul and strengthen ourselves spiritually in God. We then take that knowledge that saved our souls and give it to another. In order to help them focus on theirs. In order for them to understand they need to focus on theirs. They need to focus on what they need to do to bring their soul back to the God who gave it to them. And be saved in Jesus Christ. Those people then become a part of the Lord's church. They become a part of God's family. And we build them up spiritually together because we're so focused on each other. And we help each other and we build each other and we encourage one another. Spiritually, so that we get stronger and stronger so that they can take the gospel to someone and the process begins again and again, doesn't it? But you take any cog out of that, any part of that circle out, and it all falls apart. We can convert all the people in the world. We can bring them all to the Bible. But if we get them here and we just forget about them, what have we done? We can save our souls, but if we don't care about any other soul, what have we done? See, it takes them all. Not just one part, but the whole. We leave out or de-emphasize one in any way, we will never accomplish what Christ has called us to be. Understand our theme and focus in 2013 is not evangelism. It is souls. And it's not our theme for 2013. It is our theme that has been the theme since before the foundation of the world for God's people. And it will be the theme on the day in which Jesus Christ burst into the sky in judgment. And we rise to meet Him. We are not looking for a one-year focus on souls. We're looking for a lifetime of focus on souls. A focus on my soul. On lost souls. And on the souls of my brothers and sisters in the Lord's church. We should want all souls to go to heaven, whether currently saved or lost. This is our purpose because this is God's purpose. May we live up to it in every way as the children of God. Let us pray. Our loving and soul-focused God in heaven, we pray this morning that we will each be focused on the souls that you placed in each of us and in every person on this earth. We pray that you will strengthen us to seek those souls that have left you and do not know you, those that have died to you, that they may be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray that we will make our souls living in you through total commitment and obedience in all things. We pray that we will do all things you have commanded, Father. Father, we pray that we will be the loving brothers and sisters to each other that you as our Father demand. That we have the love for each other that you and Jesus Christ have for each other as Jesus prayed on the night before he died. We pray that love will give birth to a focus on the souls of each of our family members to ensure that they are secure in faith within the family. Father, we thank you most of all this morning that all souls can be saved because you loved us, because you focused on us, because you focused on the need of our souls and met that need by sending your only begotten Son to die in our stead in order to save our souls. We pray that we will live each day worthy of that sacrifice. It is in His name and His name only that we come in prayer to You, Father. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Next Sunday morning, we will discuss why we don't need an evangelism program here at Cary. Because we don't. We'll talk about that next Sunday morning. Because God has already built it in. And we don't need anything else but what God has built in to His church. Talk about that next Sunday morning. I know that makes people's questions pop up in their head. But you'll see what I'm saying next week. This morning, if you're not a child of God, your soul is separated from the God that gave it to you. And it's only that way because of choices that you've made. Not because of anything that God has done, but because of what we have chosen. That you can come back to Him. It's not a choice that you can't recover from. You can find the forgiveness that Jesus Christ provided to you on the cross when He shed His blood and died to be that sacrifice for that sin, to pay the price for you. That you can be saved. Your soul can be saved. That one day when Jesus Christ returns, whether you are alive or whether you are in the grave, you will live on in eternity in heaven. This morning you can become that child of God. You can respond to that salvation by believing in Jesus Christ. Repenting of your sins. Changing your life to live as God would have you to live. Confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to all men. Not ashamed of Him in any way. And be buried in baptism. Going down into that watery grave, having your sins washed away there to rise as Jesus Christ rose from the grave, glorified and sinless, to walk a new life, a life as a child of God. This morning, if you're a child of God, maybe your focus hasn't been on souls. Maybe it's been on something else, whatever that may be. It could be a multitude of things. But it hasn't been on souls. It hasn't been on what God wants you to be focused on. Get that focus back on Him today. If there are things in your life that you need to confess publicly, spiritual things that you need in your life, spiritual help that you need in your life, and you want to appeal to the love and the focus of your soul that your brethren have, then we want to pray with you. If you have a need this morning, won't you come as together we stand as we sing.